From KXJZ in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Coming up, Maria Muldaur in town with her new CD and a Sacramento concert coming up. Also, Angels Camp band Klandyken recalling their first 20 years of recordings and just about to leave for Burning Man. First, Nevada City's late, great folk singer and storyteller Utah Phillips is celebrated this weekend with two local concerts featuring one of his sons. Brendan Phillips lives in the Pacific Northwest. He's brought his band Fast Rattler to town. He's in our studio with the band, Brendan, and also Russell Andrade, Joe Andrade and Russell Gores. Welcome.
Hello.
And also sitting in, Lee Bob Watson, who's been in Insight before.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Brendan, tell us how your father's spirits were in the weeks before he passed away.
If just in terms of his health, as before he was...
Yes, well, his health, but also how he was doing, how he felt.
I think he was feeling really, really good. I think that the deal was that, you know, he was trying to figure out what he was going to do with the time he had now. And he had been working really closely with the House of Hospitality, Hospitality House in Grass Valley, which he started, which is a homeless shelter, very close to where he began back at the Joe Hill House in Utah. In the early 1970s, you know, he was working with, even into the late 60s, he was working with Joe Hill at Joe Hill House. So he returned to that later in his life. You know, he was a performer all those years, but it was great to know that when he was done, he just went back to what it was that he was doing, you know, what he'd always been doing with the Joe Hill House, and he started the Hospitality House. So he was working really closely with that in the town, and he was working just on his health and staying healthy. It was very difficult for him in the last couple of weeks because of he had a bag of medicines that needed to be kept up every day, and it was definitely tedious for him, I think. But he was enjoying himself a lot, surrounded by friends and family, and we were all just, you know, he had made the decision not to go with a heart transplant, and we all stood by him, and that was how he was feeling.
It was amazing, the outpouring in this area, especially in Nevada City, but just in general, because Utah, of course, had many fans and many friends, and it really affected a lot of people. It affected the whole community. How mm-hmm. did that affect you?
Well, you know, I had been playing these songs of his for the last couple of years, and I'd shared the stage with him on a couple occasions, me and the rest of the band here. And I think I really got to, over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, I really got to learn what my dad had been doing all this time. What's that?
How do you mean?
Well, like, you know, with his, what, you know, aside from, you know, the fact that when I was younger, I had this, you know, this sort of like standoffish feeling with my father because I didn't see him very often. But it was like, you know, over the years, there's a great a song I wrote about an experience I had with him on the East Coast where I really learned more about him and what he does. And that's what I'm saying. I guess in the last 6 years, I spent learning these songs, learning some of the stories, and really getting close to what it was he was writing and saying and doing. And I think it brought me closer to him and us together. And I think it's the same thing for my half-brother, Duncan, who spent the last 6 years driving my dad around to his shows. And because he wasn't able to fly towards these last couple of years, he wasn't able to fly my dad.
Brendan Phillips is a son of the late folk singer and storyteller Utah Phillips. He and his band Fast Rattler play tribute concerts to Utah this weekend in Nevada City and in Winters. And the band is in our studio with Lee Bob Watson, a local musician. And you're going to play a Utah Phillips song that was made famous by someone else.
Well, yeah, Emmylou Harris did record this song. And I think others as well, but I'm not sure who all those people were who recorded it. But it is one of my favorite songs, and it, you know, I'm playing it for my sister who's up in Nevada City right now, listening on the radio, and this is one of her favorite songs. So she said, "Hey, play that one."
That song being "Green Rolling Hills."
Green Rolling Hills.
Okay, well let's get the band in position.
All right.
So this is Fast Rattler playing Utah Phillips' song "Green Rolling Hills."
Oh, Oh, the green rolling hills of West Virginia are the closest thing to heaven that I know. And the South are sad and drear, but I cannot linger here. They will keep me and never let me go. And my daddy said, don't ever be a miner. Or a miner's grave is all that you shall own. I never had a time to spare, and a hard time's everywhere. You know these times, they are the hardest that I've known. But the green rolling hills of West Virginia are the closest thing to heaven that I know. And the times are sad and drear, I cannot linger here. They will keep me and never let me go.
Running out, Joe.
And I'll move away into some crowded city, in a northern factory town. You'll find me there. And I left my heart behind, I won't ever change my mind. You know these troubled times, they are just too much to bear. But the green rolling hills of West Virginia are the closest thing to heaven that I know. And the times are sad and drear, well, I cannot linger here. They will keep me and never let me go.
Very nice. That's Brendan Phillips and Fast Rattler playing Utah Phillips' song Green Rolling Hills. They are in concert tomorrow night at the Miners Foundry Stone Hall in Nevada City, and on Saturday night at the Palms in Winters, tribute concerts to Brendan's father, Utah Phillips. Brendan, why? Explain the name of the band Fast Rattler.
It comes from a song that my dad wrote called Larimer Street. I mean, the term is used in, you know, tramps and hobos and such would use it to talk about a train that is, you know, rolling fast through town. It would be something you'd want to catch if you were really trying to get out of town in a hurry. You'd flag a Fast Rattler. And the song, the line that we got the song from is out of a song my dad wrote called Larimer Street. And the line is, you know, I'll flag a Fast Rattler and ride it on down. You know, they're running the bums out of town. It's a song about gentrification and you know, the nasty Skid Row side of town getting bulldozed over and for a sports stadium or whatever. But it's a good song too, yeah.
What did your dad make of you playing his songs and the name of the band inspired by one of his songs?
Well, I think he was at first amused, wasn't sure what to think. It was really the first performance we did with him at the Capitol Theater in Olympia where we played a set of his songs, and when we got off the stage, he kind of was amazed. I guess he didn't realize where we were taking it. You know, at that time we had a drummer and we had, you know, electric instruments, and it was very different. And so he was amazed just at the ingenuity of it all, I think, because we really took his songs and took some liberties with the melodies and made some changes.
Where do you live?
I live in Olympia, Washington. I worked there for the governor of Washington State as a constituent relations analyst. I basically help people find services And I'm happy to say that the governor, the great governor of Washington, is paying me to be here right now. It's called paid vacation, and I know you guys have got your state worker problems down here. And it's too bad, but
you don't get paid federal minimum wage.
Federal minimum wage yet. I mean, that's we haven't heard that one floated yet. But
what other kind of songs do you sing?
Of my dad's or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, I have another little band that I do that's sort of rock, progressive rock music that we play, and it's up in Portland, and it's more of just right now in the project phase. You know, we're working on it in terms of recording, but Fast Rattler is, you know, really the first joy right now that I have, and there's a few originals that I've done in this vein, in this folk vein, but for these shows, I think we're going to stick with all Utah, but to answer your question, I like to play folk music and I like to play rock music, depending on my mood.
You said earlier you didn't see so much of your father. Why was that?
Well, he was on the road a lot of my life when I was growing up. Early in my life, I would go on the road with him and my mom and my sister when we were little kids sometimes. Later in my life, I think he, you know, through the times when normal teenagers are going through all their stuff, my dad was really largely gone. He and my mom had separated. And so, you know, a lot of my learning these songs has been, like I said, to get in touch with some of the things that he was doing and saying and singing. And I've really, it's really brought me closer to him, for sure, to sing these songs. And also, when he passed, singing the songs give me great relief and in terms of my grief and stuff. So I love singing these songs and they make me feel better.
Brandon Phillips is a musician and a son of the late folk singer and storyteller Utah Phillips. We have time for one more song. It's Old Buddy Goodnight. Is that right?
Yeah, Old Buddy Goodnight. Now, this song is a hard song, you know, a song sung from a sad story, you know, of an old man who didn't make it on his last ride on the trains. So it's a sad one, but it's a beautiful one.
Okay.
I was there when they opened the boxcars and found him stone dead on the floor. Who thumbing and bumming was all of our trades. No one had seen him before. And he wore the face of a stranger, all lost and unseen in the crowd. And all you could see in those soft prairie eyes was the wind and the grass and the snow. The wind blows cold in Wyoming, and the stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, well, I guess it's old buddy good night. Well, his hair was the color of winter, all streaked with iron and cold, and all you could see in those soft prairie eyes was the wind and the grass and the snow. And the backs of his hands were like road maps, and the lines on his face were the same. He looked so small as we carried him down, wrapped in a newspaper shroud. Well, the wind blows cold in Wyoming, and the stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, well, I guess it's old buddy good night. And I don't know where he came from. His train was a UP freight. If there's someone waiting for him on the coast, he'll be a little bit late. But give him a line in your papers, and here's what I wanted to say. There's lots of things worse than dying alone, and one of them's living that way. Well, the wind blows cold in Wyoming, and the stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, well, I guess it's old buddy good night.
Old Buddy Goodnight, performed by Brendan Phillips. He's a musician and son of the late folk singer and storyteller Utah Phillips. He and his band Fast Rattler are in town to play tribute concerts to Utah this weekend. Brendan, your father did many things. What do you think was the number one thing for him that motivated him in life?
It was working with the community, working with people in the community. You know, something I think a lot of people, you know, in when bands or performers are touring around, you know, they're in at the, you know, midnight to their gig, and they're there in town for, you know, 20 minutes total or whatever as they roll through. But my dad made a point out of coming to every town he was playing in a day, sometimes two, sometimes three earlier, to pick through the papers, to go to the library, to approach some of the old timers and find out what was going on in town, so that when he got up there to talk in front of those folks, he would have a way of relating to them, you know, not like sort of half-heartedly, but to really say, I'm here, we're here together, let's talk about some of the issues that we're facing in this smaller community. He definitely took everything down to the very community level, and I think it shows up later in his life. It shows up throughout his entire career. This idea, this notion that we're all linked by our communities, within our communities, and that artists there's a need for the artists in our communities to be relaying what's going on in the communities and to be relevant in the community at the time. You know, I mean, and sometimes I think people forget that we need to make sure that the community is where the music starts and where we all come from. And that's what my dad did his entire career. So
Brendan Phillips, along with steel guitarist Joe Andrade and stand-up bassist Russell Gorse, also with us Lee Bob Watson, who'll be playing with the band Brendan Phillips and Fast Rattler. The concerts are at Miners Foundry Stone Hall in Nevada City tomorrow evening. That's Friday evening. And on Saturday at the Palms in Winters. Thank you all very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. When we come back, Angels Camp band Klandyken recalling their first 20 years of recordings and just about to leave for Burning Man. We'll be right back. Listening to Insight from KXJZ, I'm Jeffrey Callison. You can download previous editions of Insight, find our archives at capradio.org/insight. This weekend, a city of 50,000 people will spring out in the Nevada desert, gathered for the week-long Burning Man Festival. Afterwards, the city disappears without a trace. Tomorrow in Insight, you'll meet some of the burners, find out what draws them there. Also, by way of contrast, romance novelist Brendan Novak speaking this weekend at a writer's conference. Klandyken's music is hard to place. It's various helpings of rock, funk, reggae, Native American, and more. There's also a strong political and social perspective to many of their lyrics. Klandyken must also be one of the longer living bands in this area. They've been around in various incarnations for about 25 years. Klandyken recently released a triple CD retrospective of the first 20 years of recordings. Next week, they're at Burning Man. They also have a concert at a festival this weekend. Meantime, they're in our studio. Klandyken, welcome to Insight.
It's great nice to be to here, Jeffrey.
And when you talk about Klandyken, you first of all and principally talk about Bear Dyken, who's a guitarist, singer, and main songwriter, and Mark Dyken, who's a drummer and percussionist. And Bear, you two are brothers, right?
That is correct.
If you could just move forward to the mic. There we go.
Yeah, we're brothers. There have been other brothers involved, and currently my son is playing the bass over here.
And that's Silas.
That's Silas.
When the band started, what was the plan, if there was one?
Those are kind of direct questions, aren't they? When the band started could be probably at Mark's conception, I would say. It's
pretty much so. Probably the first things that we remember about playing music together was stealing mom's pots and pans, going out in the backyard and banging, you know, to Beatles songs or whatever till the neighbors would yell at us. So
where was that?
That was in Wisconsin, Saukville, Wisconsin.
Yeah. So you started playing musically together early on, but once a band really started to come together, what kind of band was it then?
You know, that's funny. In the early days of when Sammy Awards first started, we were nominated twice for World Beat, Best World Beat Band.
Yes.
Are we World Beat? But we originally, just as much as the music, probably was the feeling that we had that music could be this powerful force for change and to make people feel better, make the world better. So some kind of combination of that spirit of music that we heard growing up in the 60s and then all the influences that we've gotten from traveling around.
Yeah.
Just like you said in your intro, it's pretty hard to place.
I've been listening to a retrospective, the triple CD, and we're going to listen to some clips from that. Here's something that's a relatively early song, I guess. This is Watching the Fire Burn. This is from 1988, correct?
I don't even remember, but it's back there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to a bit of Watching the Fire Burn.
I am watching, watching, watching the fire burn. I am watching, watching, watching the fire burn. I am reaching the colors the flames exhume. Watching, time is fleeting, and light forms the walls of this room.
Bear, could you tell us what's in this song? Just voice and percussion, right?
Yeah, actually, that's me four times. I was just discovering the wonders of four-track recording and sitting in a place we used to rehearse. We called it Thunderbush Studios, which was in reality a little shack behind Mark's house.
And were you still in Wisconsin at that time?
No, that was in Calaveras County, California.
Yeah. When did you all move here? Was this when you were young?
Let's
see. Came to Calaveras in 85 or 6 after the Whole Earth Festival in Davis one year.
Yeah.
And we had come here from Colorado where we were playing music and running a very ahead of its time vegetarian and raw foods restaurant. And then we moved the whole operation out here.
I see. Do you ever go back to Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Mark and I were just there for the world's largest one-day fish fry.
Very good. Okay. My guests are Clan Daikin. They have a triple CD retrospective of the first 20 years of recordings. They're playing at Burning Man next week, and they're going to play in our studio. Let's see. What do you have for us, Bear?
Well, we like to keep people guessing, so we're going to do a brand new one that actually you're one of the very first people to ever hear this song besides us. And it's called Wings for My Birthday.
Okay.
Mark's sitting on a box over here. It's called a cajon. That's our drummer for today. And we also have Summer here. Summer Moon's going to be doing some singing here in a little bit.
Great.
Ready?
I'm going to give myself wings for my birthday. I'm going to buy myself rockets for my shoes. I'm gonna give myself wings for my birthday. Blast off from these rotten blues. I'm gonna give myself a magic sailboat and sail across the ocean blue. Give myself a magic sailboat. That's what I'm gonna do. I got nothing to lose. 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 I'm gonna ride my bicycle round the world. Ride my bicycle to the moon. Ride my bicycle to the temples of Venus. And I won't be coming back soon. I'm gonna free up all the dates on my schedule. Got nothing better to do. Live my life to the fullest. It's what I'm gonna do. I got nothing to lose. 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 lace up my running shoes. Lace up my running shoes. I'm gonna give myself wings for my birthday. Give myself wings for my birthday. Give myself wings for my birthday. Give myself wings. This one.
That's a new song by my guests, Klandyken. It's called Wings for My Birthday. It's a stripped-down version of Klandyken. They have a triple CD retrospective of the first 20 years of recordings. Bear, you're the main songwriter for the band. What music do you like to listen to that's not Klandyken music?
I have a practice. I try to like as much kind of music as possible. So I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, especially really rootsy ethnic music. People would probably be really surprised at some of the obscure music I listen to.
Mm.
I also like the classics and, you know, all kinds of stuff, so.
Sure. Now, some of the songs definitely have a strong Native American sound to them. Mark, where does that come from?
Well, we've been fortunate in our lives to get close to some people who led us to places that put us in touch with the kind of people who do that music. And for a number of years, we had a close friend and mentor, Corbin Harney, who is a Western Shoshone spiritual elder, who we met as nuclear activist down at the Nevada nuclear test site. In fact, when we first met him, we were arrested with him for crossing the line down there. And there's just something about that sort of approach to life that resonates with us. And so what Corbin told us, you know, whatever part of you that breathes the air that blows across this land, that drinks the water that comes up from this earth, that eats the food that grows in this dirt, that part of you is native. And if that works for you, then go with that. So.
Let's listen to another recording. This is from a fairly recent album of yours called Spellbreaker, and the song Espiritu is on the retrospective triple CD. Let's listen to a bit of it.
Big picture, what is human being? What is being human? What is at the core of human desire?
So you're playing Burning Man next week. You've done that before, haven't you?
This will be our fourth trip, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fourth trip. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is it you like about Burning Man? Assuming that you like being there, given it's your fourth time.
You know, it's kind of like, I hate Burning Man. I love Burning Man. I hate Burning Man. There's a lot to argue with about Burning Man for me. There's a lot of over-consumptive behavior that doesn't resonate with me. But the unbridled freedom of expression, I would say, is what draws me back.
I've never been to Burning Man, but isn't it supposed to be inspired by an anti-consumption ethos?
In a certain way it is, because there's the gift economy where you can't spend any money there except in a few really select places, and people do give a lot of things away. And a lot of what you see consumpted there is someone else's throwaways. But yeah, like last year when they blew up this giant oil derrick as a display of art that was supposed to make us feel bad about bowing down to oil, they used 30,000 gallons of propane or something like that to make the explosion. So, but it was an extraordinary sight, no question about it.
And how does it work for bands? Do you just show up, or do you get invited officially, or something else?
In a couple of years, we've been invited and had our tickets paid for to play in certain camps, and this year we'll just be freelancing it. And we've gotten into the habit now of just buying our tickets because we want to contribute. It was nice to get the free tickets in the beginning, but
yeah,
I like to contribute too.
My guests are the Angels Camp-based band Klandyken. You got another song to do for us in the studio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What's
if
this
you're
one?
Ready for that? This one's called "I'm a Mystery."
Okay.
This is another new one that you won't find on the 3-CD set. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes I feel moved by forces, forces that I can't see. I'm a mystery, mystery to me. Somehow my soul expressed itself here in this body. I'm a mystery, mystery to me. People come up to say they know me. Tell me, how can that be? When I'm a mystery, mystery to me. Hold me now, I'm breathing. Search my eyes and see. I'm a mystery. Just another drop of water in a waterfall, falling free. I'm a mystery, mystery to me. Just one drop of water in a river rushing to the sea. I'm a mystery, mystery to me.
Wow, that's very nice. Another new song by Klandyken. I'm a Mystery. Klandyken are my guests. Bear Dyken, guitarist, singer, main songwriter. Mark Dyken, drummer, percussionist. Harmony vocals by Summer. And the bassist is Silas Dyken. Since you're going to Burning Man next week, and since we're also going to do some Burning Man interviews tomorrow, I think we'll wrap up the segment by listening to a bit of your song Burning Man Funk.
Good,
let's listen to a little bit about it,
that's
a little
cool
bit of it, and then hear how it came about.
Talk about
This sounds like it was a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it's always fun to play that song, yeah.
Yeah, and did you write it?
I did.
And did you write it at Burning Man?
I did, yeah.
Actually sitting there?
One of the things we do at Burning Man is we create a space and have other people sit in with us, and we just will riff on a funk riff like that for hours and make things up as we're going along. It's so, not a regular performance for us there. We're interacting with people.
I specifically remember that chorus coming together at that really raucous party over at Otter Camp.
At the Otter Camp, and Daryl Cherney looked at me and said, "Take a tip from Uncle Daryl. That song's a hit." Of course, he was
feeling very Burning Man at that moment.
Well, we won't go into that.
Opinion.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks so much. I should note you're also playing the River Ranch Music Festival on Saturday.
That's correct.
Yeah, good friends of ours from the Alma Melodiosa band put that together, and we've been playing that for a number of years. So we're stoked to be there and really happy to be here with you, Jeffrey. You know, we're big public radio people, and I listen regularly, so it's really fun to be in the studio here. And definitely want to give a shout-out before us there. I forget, Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon.
Really did his dad prod there, and we've done a number of things with Utah and got to know him over the years, and he's sounding good, too. What a great show.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Their retrospective CD is called Retrospective. They're at River Ranch Music Festival on Saturday. They're at Burning Man next week. They're Clan Dykin, Bear Dykin, Mark Dykin, Silas Dykin, and Summer. Thanks all so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. When we come back, we'll talk with Maria Muldaur. She has a new CD. She has a concert tomorrow in Sacramento. We'll be right back.
We are on our way to the realms of mystery. If just for this one moment, let us be together, my friends. We must leave our flowers behind us. We must leave our song.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Coming up this afternoon from KXJZ News, what are California lawmakers up to this week, in addition to not passing a state budget? That story is later today on All Things Considered. The great soulful blues singer Maria Muldaur is in town with her new CD and a concert tomorrow at The Crest. Her new album has a political, social flavor to it. It's called Yes, We Can. The title track also happens to be the music to a YouTube video promoting a certain presidential candidate. Maria worked with the Barack Obama campaign on that video. She's in our studio. Maria Muldaur, we talked on the phone a few months ago. Nice for you to come into
nice
our studio
to see
today.
You. Thank you.
Did you decide to make an album that was more political, more socially?
I didn't want it to be political. I wanted it to be more about the change that we have to make globally, not so much just a change of American political figures, but nothing smaller than a change of the entire paradigm upon which civilization has been operating for millennium, and which I think is an outworn paradigm that needs to change if we're going to survive as a species and as a planet.
How did you choose the songs for the album? What were you looking for?
Well, I decided to make an album. The first few days of the inspiration, I was calling it a protest album. And then I decided I didn't want to look back with derision. I wanted to look forward with vision. I didn't want to just be dissing our current leaders and so forth. So I changed the concept to a pro-peace album. And then I, of course, went to my very favorite songwriter in the entire universe, Bob Dylan, for three wonderful, very eloquent statements, anti-war statements, two that he wrote when he was 21, Masters of War and John Brown, which he wrote when he was 21, and then another one called License to Kill that he wrote in the late 80s. And then I also started thinking, well, I don't want this to be dreary protest music. That's why I never liked protest music the first time around in the 60s. It was all too serious and humorless.
And you were from Greenwich Village.
Yeah, I was born and raised in the epicenter of all things hip, and the folk scene, part of the folk scene was people like myself who were delving into and exploring American roots music like blues, bluegrass, old-timey Appalachian, and so forth. And then there were the protest singers, and although I espoused the causes they were singing about, I thought their songs were a little on the dreary side. So for this album, I started thinking, well, where am I going to get these songs? And then it hit me that in the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of wonderful black soul artists who were very aware of the social concerns that we were all facing at that time, wrote some wonderful songs that not only eloquently expressed the concerns, but also had a great funky groove. And
yeah,
it was kind of like, you know, protest music you could dance to. So I chose quite a few songs from Marvin Gaye, Alan Toussaint, Earl King. And even to my surprise, I found a wonderful song by Garth Brooks called We Shall Be Free that I got to sing with Odetta and Joan Baez and Holly Near and all the women that I had assembled as the Women's Voices for Peace
Sure.
Choir. That was part of the inspiration for the album.
My guest is Maria Muldaur. She's in concert tomorrow night at the Crest Theatre in Sacramento. It's actually a benefit for the Sacramento nonprofit Francis House. There are many special guests, including Tracy Nelson, Holly Near, and Linda Tillery. And Maria has a new CD out called Yes We Can. Let's listen to a bit of the song Yes We Can.
Now is the time for all mankind to get together with one another. Iron out of problems and iron out of troubles and try to live as brothers. Try to find peace of mind without stepping on one another. And do respect all the women of the world. Just remember that you all had mothers. We got to make this land a better land than the world in which we live. Help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give. I know we can make it, I know that we can, I know darn well we can work it out. Yes we can, I know we can, yes we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes we can. I know we can make it.
Maria, this song, if you go to YouTube,
yes,
you can see it with images of Barack Obama.
Yes.
And one of his campaign slogans is, Yes, We Can.
Yes.
How did that all come about?
Well, I thought of the album last fall. I chose the songs by last October, recorded it. I have my dear soul sister Bonnie Raitt is singing with me on this particular cut. And I just had always loved this song. It was written by Alan Toussaint about 40 years ago. It was a hit by Lee Dorsey in the late 60s and by the Pointer Sisters in the early 70s. So it was just one of the songs with a positive message of yes, we can create social change. And so as the album was all finished mixing and some friends heard it, they said, you know, you ought to get that to Obama. He's using that phrase as a slogan at his rallies and so forth. And I said, well, that's all well and good, but I'm a Hillary girl. And so I voted for Hillary in the California primary. But when it became evident that she probably wasn't going to get the nomination, I thought people were still urging me. And I do like Obama an awful lot. And I said, well, this must be kismet. I'm sure he chose the phrase for the same reason that I chose the song, because people are feeling so hopeless and helpless about the devastating array of things that are going wrong in our country and on the planet. So I sent it to him, and to my utter surprise, he sent me back a handwritten letter thanking me for the song, telling me it perfectly fit the spirit of his campaign, and saying he would use it at rallies and so forth. And then I got together with some of his campaign people out here and made a video that not only it supports Obama, of course, but I used global images. I used images of people from all over the world that were just humble people who had stood up for what they believed to be right and made a change. Everybody from Rosa Parks to Nelson Mandela to Cesar Chavez and everyone in between.
Maria Muldaur's new album is Yes We Can. She's also in concert tomorrow night at the Crest in Sacramento. Let's make sure we have time to hear a clip from another song on the album. This is Make a Better World.
The world we know is built on skill. That alone don't count.
Maria, it's obvious you had a serious purpose behind this album, but it's a lot of fun to listen to as well.
That's what I wanted it to be. I wanted, people have told me over the years that my music's been the soundtrack to various love and lust affairs and romances and seductions. And I thought, okay, after all these years of doing that kind of music, I want to do an album that's a soundtrack to people getting inspired to work extra hard to make a change in this world. Because we can all make a difference if we try, you know.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted it to be positive, and you certainly can dance to it.
And you were dancing to both these songs in our studio.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I had the great band, the Free Radicals, who were just all from New Orleans and all killer players, and they added the extra dose of funk to this record.
Yes, 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 yes. It's kind of an all-star lineup, the concert tomorrow. You've got lot of people performing.
Oh, yeah. Linda Tillery and her wonderful Cultural Heritage Choir are going to start the show off, and then she will later come out and sing a bit with me. And then Tracy Nelson, another killer singer that I've done a lot of blues shows with. She's a blues sister of mine. And Holly Neer, who has just been inspired to be doing this kind of music all her life. I mean, in terms of singing and speaking out for social change and justice and peace. So who else is on there? Annie Sampson, Keita Bill, the Free Radicals, and the Spirit Wings Choir from right here in Sacramento. And
the
Francis House has been an outreach to a resource center for people in poverty and people who have special needs in this community for over 25 years. And I really wanted to do something to help them.
And Maria, we're just about out of time, but I do want to ask you, you've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah.
Do you still enjoy it as much or more?
I would say more. I'm just hitting my stride. I feel like I'm a much better singer than I was when I first started to warble, you know, in my youth. And I just never run out of good ideas of projects to do. And I've been blessed to sing and perform with some of the best musicians and singers in the country. And so it's always exciting. I say never a dull or spare moment at the Oasis, and that's the way it's been for a long time.
Maria Muldaur, her new album is Yes We Can. She's in concert tomorrow night at the Crest Theater in Sacramento. Maria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me and for supporting this wonderful cause.
And that's Insight for today. I'm Jeffrey Callison. For more information about the guests and topics in our show, go to our webpage, capradio.org/insight. Today's associate producer was Ellie Fox. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our very busy engineer today, Evan Matzler. The assistant producer is Robin Souza. The senior producer is Jen Picard. And thank you for joining us. Weekend, the city of 50,000 will spring out of the Nevada desert, gathered for the week-long Burning Man Festival. Afterwards, the city disappears without a trace. On the next Insight, you'll meet some of the burners and find out what draws them there. Also, romance novelist Brenda Novak speaking this weekend at a Sacramento Writers Conference, and bluesy, lighthearted musician Dan Hicks in Penn Valley. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Join me for Insight.
Tomorrow at 2 on KXJZ.